Can you hear me now? This means I'm not tied to a cord. I can run over there and run over there. Thank you, Jed.
We forgot to play.
We forgot. Well, I'm still working on that. But thank you for reminding me, because I could have talked myself. How many have ever seen bad news on the news programs? It's there, isn't it? It's there. Of course, they have to search the whole world over to find 20 minutes of bad news, so then they repeat it all day. But there's a lot of bad news out there. And I think probably everybody here has had the heartbreak that I feel when we watch the horrible thing that's going on in Syria, where there's hundreds of thousands of men, women, boys and girls and babies and old women in wheelchairs and people that are leaving their home because of the persecution in their home. Headed north for Europe, trying to find a better life. It's just pitiful. And there's a lot of bad news. But, and we seem to have a shortage of good news, and I don't know exactly why, unless it's that our Christian camp doesn't put enough effort and money into broadcasting better, more and better news. Because there's a lot of good news out there, too. It just needs to be shared. And if we were given equal time, I think we would outweigh them. And anyway, we in Mexico last week, through Pastor Juan de la Parra from Nacozari, we picked up a link on the web that's amazing. And, you know, we know the war that's been in Iraq for years. In fact, it's been there for decades. They were fighting before we ever went over there. And they're still fighting and bad things are happening. But there's some things happening that you probably don't know yet. And I want to show you what it is. Everybody say, okay. So Peter, I'm going to, you know, this is about 5 minutes long. But if I may or may not let you run the whole 5 minutes. So watch my hand if I ask you to fade it down. Not cut it off, but fade it out. This is Iraq. And these people are not under ISIS or Islamic threat of any kind. These people have found Jesus, and they act like it. Watch this. The difference in this broadcast and the one we see on TV is Jesus. Amen. Jesus makes the difference. And Jesus will win the war. I don't know whether to cry or laugh or shout or run when I see this, because it gives me such a hope. I mean, I'm talking a real hope. The one the Bible talks about where your salvation is anchored in it. If you hope in Jesus, he won't let you down, so the hope is sure. If you hope in winning the lottery, that's a different realm of hope. It'll probably let you down. But my hope is in Jesus when I see this kind of report, because, you know, we're in this little tiny spot down here where nobody comes unless they come on purpose. You know, we're at the end of the world, so to speak. You know, Douglas, Arizona is not on the main path to anywhere. And we it's easy to think, you know, just what's going on here is the whole world, huh? Everybody say good things. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless these Iraqi Christians, Lord, that we've just seen. We pray that they be kept safe. Pray, Lord, that they be those that endure unto the end and be saved. Pray, Lord, that they will become strong and do great exploits in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless them. Keep them. Let your face shine brightly upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. I get to be the preacher today. Someday I'd like to have the license plate. P-R-E-A-C-H. Personalized license plate. Wouldn't it be cool? A guy named Keith Moore was one of the teachers at Rhema Bible Training Center when our son went there way back in 89. And he had a bright red Corvette, and the personalized license plate said, "Preach." And I tried not to envy that and lust after it, but I did. Man, that would be so cool to have a license plate like that. And the red Corvette. Everybody wants a red Corvette? Okay, let's do this. Lord, we prayed for the Iraqi Christians. Now we pray for these Christians, for this service and for this presentation of your word, asking, sir, that your anointing will cause your word to live inside of us and just affect us for your glory and to our benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn, please, to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, 1. What we're going to be looking at today, I've got about 23 scriptures, so you may need your pen and pencil. You know, if I go faster, then you can write it down. We'll just write down the scripture reference and then get the, you know, we get the tape. We don't use tapes anymore. We get the CD or the thumb drive or whatever it's recorded on and go over it again if you need to hear it. I want us to ask ourselves a question, and then this will help me get started on the scriptures. Is your lifestyle ready for heaven? Is your lifestyle ready for heaven? You might say, well, I really don't know. Well, the scripture will help you know today. And, you know, we can say, well, you know, raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Everybody raised their hand but one old guy in the back. And the preacher asked him after church, you didn't raise your hand, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, well, yeah, but I thought you was getting up a load today. But our lifestyle needs to be ready for heaven, or we'll get there and go, uh-oh, I ain't ready for this. What? You mean there's nothing here to complain about? I don't belong here. What? No sickness? What am I going to do with this bag of pills that I brought? Huh? They don't tell those kind of jokes here? I better keep my mouth shut. Is your lifestyle ready for heaven? Will you be comfortable when you get there? Now, you're all going, well, I should hope you all are, sooner or later. I think we need to know what to expect and not be so surprised when we get there. Well, now, you know, there's room for surprise. You know, I don't want to set that so solid in cement. You think I'm saying there's no surprises? There's going to be a lot of surprises. But in its awesomeness, an all-consuming ambient of God, that's big. In all of that, we need to feel comfortable. And even with the surprises, we need to feel comfortable because, like, I knew he's going to do that. I knew it was coming. I knew he was going to do that. Because that's the kind of God he is. So the surprise surprised you, and yet you weren't surprised because you know what God is, how he operates, his character, his nature. So you were ready for the surprise. So would you all agree with me today that we need to know a little bit more about heaven? Now I can take you today, I probably won't get there with this short sermon, but I could take you to the streets of gold is presented in Revelation 21 and 22. The streets of gold and the river of water of life and the leaves that bear 12 manner of fruit, you know, all year long. And their leaves are for the healing of the nations and, you know, the pearly gates. And that's all awesome. Keep in mind, that was the only words that John could find to explain what he saw. And believe me, they weren't sufficient. If John were here today, he would say, hey guys, that's the best words I can find, but those golden streets, way beyond that. The peace that I felt, no words. But he did his best by using the language of the day to express the beauty of the place. But we're going to find that it's so much greater, more beautiful than we could ever imagine. But down where the rubber meets the road, where we are today, I need to be more comfortable with what heaven's like by looking at the Word of God, looking at the life of Jesus and how he walked his life. And I need to begin to walk like that, walk like him, because he knows what it's like in heaven. I need to start patterning, is that right? Patterning my life after him as the example. He is the pattern son. The fullest example that there'll ever be. He knows it all. And if we'll walk close to him and walk like him and learn from him, we'll be more comfortable with heaven when we do get there. Because we know a little bit about what heaven's like by who he is. And so we're going to look at a few of many, 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 many attributes. I mean, it would take page after page after page after page to name all the various attributes and natures and characteristics of the Lord. He's big. We're going to look at a few highlights that maybe we can dig our teeth into. Did you find 1 John 3:1-2? It took me a while to get there, didn't it? I want to start with this because behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not only do I want to go to heaven, but I want to see Jesus. I want to see the one that forgave me. I want to see the one that told the judge, my blood covered it for him. And I did things that were unspeakable and unforgivable for some. I want to see the one who said, let him go. My blood paid for that. I want to see him. I want to bow before him, kiss his feet. I want to kiss his feet. And if I know him, and I'm knowing him better every day by his word, by experience, you know, experience is a great teacher. And if I know him like I think I know him, when I kiss his feet, he's going to let me do that for a little bit and let me slobber on for a minute. Then he's going to grab me by the shoulders and pick me up and say, come up here where I am and let's just talk about this. And he'll give me a big kiss on the cheek and I'll give him a big kiss on the cheek. And we'll hug and we'll love. And he'll say, little brother, I'm so glad you're here. I'll say, big brother, I'm so glad you made it possible. And so Jesus is our main reason to go to heaven. And he can show us what heaven is like to the point that we won't be totally surprised when we get there. And he'll teach us enough about heaven through his own life and teachings that we'll be comfortable enough to accept it and receive it and enjoy it and be able to embrace it. We don't want to be a foreigner in heaven. We want to be family. Everybody having a good time? Now, I heard something. Anybody like me, you hear things in the shower? Here's one I heard yesterday. God will only be God to us or for us as much as we understand him and by faith accept him. Let me run that one again. God will only be God to us and for us as much as we understand him and by faith accept him. Just for a little bit of explanation, you're saying, you mean I have to understand God for him to be God for me? Yeah. Do rocks understand God? Do they benefit? I don't think so. Please don't think I'm pointing fingers or trying to step on your toes, but, and I want to use the word ignorant in the sense of a lack of knowledge. I'm not talking about weirdos or dummies or, you know, I'm talking about ignorance in the sense that you just don't know yet. You know, I'm still ignorant to a lot of things. Really? You thought I knew everything? No, I'm still ignorant to a lot of things because I haven't yet received the knowledge or learned the subject. Therefore, I'm still ignorant about a lot of things. Okay, so that's where I'm using this. But the ignorant do not receive God. He can't be God for them and be benefit to them until they understand him. And if they're ignorant of him, they don't get the benefit. They don't get the blessing because they don't know he can do it. They don't know he wants to do it. Doesn't help. So I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about heaven. I want to be less ignorant about these things so I can receive from God all that he has for me. You know, God has a lot of big blessings for us. He's got a lot of big blessings. He wants to fill your belly full of his spirit and let it overrun with living water. And he wants to fill your body with health. And he wants to fill your pocket with money so you can send out missionaries. And you know, he's got blessing. He wants to fill your heart with joy so you won't be sad when Denise goes to Mexico. And we sure miss her, don't we, Eric? I want God to be God to me and for me through the fact that I am understanding Him better, knowing Him better. I don't want to be like a rock. That's, you know, I've been told I was dumb as a box of rocks. I'd like to grow out of that. I said, there's this young lady one time, I said, she's ugly as a mud fence. I got in trouble for saying that because her mother thought she was beautiful. Don't get me started. Go to 1 John 1:9. Okay. 1 John, okay, don't go back, but where we read in 1 John 3, where we'll know Him as He is when we see Him, and we don't yet know exactly what it's going to be like and all that. This is getting us ready for heaven, you know. Meeting Jesus, being changed to be like Him, that's getting us ready for heaven. Amen? That's one of the many things that gets us ready. Well, I'm about to read 1 John 1:9, and that's what qualifies us for heaven. Are you ready to know what qualifies you for heaven? You need to know this if you're planning to buy the ticket. If we confess our sins, okay, that's where we'll start. Let's just preach there. You mean I have to confess my sins to qualify for heaven? Yes! Well, I don't sin. Congratulations. You get to be the first one on earth. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I would like to add, I'm not adding to the Word of God, I'm just adding to the thought we get out of this. Forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness so we won't do it again and again and again and again. You know, I can tell you by experience, see, I used to be a bad boy. But I did go to church, so I spent a lot of time at the altar asking forgiveness of my sins. But I didn't go through the process of being cleansed from all unrighteousness, because after I repented of my sins, I got up, went back out behind the barn again, lit another cigarette, and told another nasty joke, and da 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 da. Because I hadn't been cleansed from my sins. So, you know, if this anything in that realm of life is plaguing you, you need to come into the altar and confess your sins, and then you need to stay there until you feel like the Lord has cleansed you. You can tell when He's done a work in your heart because you have prayed the thing through. When He's done a work in your heart where when you get up, you not only feel forgiven, but you feel clean and go, Lord, I've been needing this feeling for a long time. I believe I'm going to walk cleaner and better and closer to You and farther from sin from this time on, because I just feel Your goodness is just running through me, Lord. Oh, my God, how could I sin again after going through what I just went through at the altar? This is so awesome. I'm feeling closer to You than I've ever felt before. Thank You for cleansing my heart. That's what qualifies us for heaven, the confession of sins and allowing Him to be faithful and just so He can forgive us and cleanse us. We're going to look here in a minute at faithfulness, because He says here that He's faithful and just. I don't have a lot on just today on this particular lineup. I had some I left at home because I can't put it all in this hour. But He's not only faithful, but He's a just judge. A just judge will be merciful to those to whom mercy is due. Those deserving of mercy will receive the mercy if the judge is just. Okay? If the judge is just, He will know whether or not I need and deserve the mercy. He'll know that, and He'll know what kind of discipline He may have to bring me under to cleanse me, to change my mind, to change my lifestyle. He knows, a just judge knows what I need, whether it be mercy or jail. If jail, how long? I mean, you know, a just judge knows what to do with the verdict. Well, God is a just judge. And if you deserve hell, you're going to get it. Oh, I shouldn't have started back there, huh? If you deserve mercy, you're going to get it. He's just. If your life full of sin and rebellion and you're totally against God and saying, I'm not going to do the God thing, I'm going to do my thing, you better get you a go to the fire department and see if they got a fireproof suit. Because the just judge has to do what is just. And he has to do what justice demands. He has no choice because he's just. Okay, I wasn't going to go there, but I did. Breathe easy. He's faithful. Why don't we go to Hebrews 10:23? Let us hold, okay, Hebrews 10:23, we'll get there in a minute. I'm faster than a computer, that's why it's taking so long. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? I'm asking you why, and I'd like for you to answer. Why? For he who promised is faithful. There cannot be enough said about the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness is the opposite of lies. Faithfulness is the opposite of unfaithfulness. Faithfulness is the opposite of deception. And our God is faithful. What he promised, it's a sure thing. And so if we're going to, you know, we get to heaven and go, like, wow, man, everybody up here is really faithful. They do what they said they were going to do. They live like they said they were going to live. They mean what they say and say what they mean. Man, this faithful bunch. Wow. Wish I ought to learn to be faithful on earth instead of being so haphazard and helter-skelter and maybe so, maybe no. And well, I hope so. Man, I wish I'd have been more faithful on earth. To read the Word, study the Word, and embrace the Word. And I wish I'd have been more faithful on earth to, you know, associate with faith, people full of faith and hope and love. And I wish I'd have been more faithful on earth to live the life of a Christian. How many want to be faithful so you won't be surprised in heaven at all that faith? Look at 1 Corinthians 1:9, please. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. I'm going to read it because it's not on the screen yet. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. God is faithful. Now there's a promise in here that's very profound. He's faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. Would he call you into the fellowship of his Son if he wasn't faithful enough to get you there? Grab this promise. Grab this promise. You can say, Lord, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for calling me into the fellowship of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And thank you for being faithful to help me get there. Thank you for being faithful to help me live up to your expectation. Another thing you're going to find in heaven is mercy. The first big bucket full of mercy is going to be you step in through the pearly gate and go, sure glad he forgot all that stuff. No, he didn't forget. He forgave and made a choice to be merciful in spite of all the stuff. And you're going to, you know, you won't get two steps into the gate till you fall down and start saying, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And you're going to find so much mercy in there. You know, you're going to see old brother so-and-so that used to do dumb stuff down at the bar with you, but he made it right with God. And you're going to go, boy, Lord, you are merciful. You let him in. And the Lord will say, well, I have to be faithful and just to forgive him because he confessed. I like what the prophet Jeremiah said about mercy. He said, if it wasn't for the mercies of God, we'd have all been consumed. So we're going to find mercy in heaven. And the best way to get acquainted with mercy so it won't surprise you when you get there is to be merciful yourself. It's one thing to receive the mercy of God, to partake of the benefit. That's awesome. You need to do that. Do it every day. You have no idea how many times when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I say is, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Because your word says your mercy is new every morning. Yeah, I do that. I don't know how many days of the year, but probably 366. That really means a lot to me. You know, we get in a fight. Barbara's mean. I wake up saying, well, Lord, you got to give her another chance because you said your mercy is new every morning. I just say things like that to make sure you're awake. Mercy. Extend mercy. Be merciful. And you'll appreciate reception of mercy. You'll appreciate his offer of mercy if you have been merciful. I like Psalms 37:26. He's ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. He's ever merciful. Everybody say, ever merciful. Ever merciful. I don't really know how to expound on ever. But it, to me, it means every time, all the time, no matter what. If you deserve mercy through confession, He's going to be merciful every time. I would hope that we can all be participants of mercy and givers and donors of mercy to the point that when we get to heaven and see all that mercy, we'll go, I knew it would be like this because I experienced it on earth. Huh? Would you excuse me while I open my water, please? Excuse me while I take a drink. Be merciful. I don't throw it at you. Where are we? James 5:11. In James 5:11, we're going to find that since the computer's playing, the projector's playing games, I better look this one up. James 5:11. Little book right after Hebrews, for those that are looking. You're going to find compassion in heaven. I'm not really into Catholic symbolism because I wasn't raised that way. But they have some really cool symbols. The cross. Even, the sign of the cross. I know they do that religiously and we kind of take it lightly, but I've been known to do it in prayer just between me and God. And I'm not even Catholic. Symbolism of the cross means a lot to me. I don't do it out of religiosity. I do it out of respect for the cross. And one of their symbols, I don't know what it means to them, but I know what it means to me, is the dibujo, the picture, the cuadra of Jesus with a bleeding heart. It's a real religious looking thing. I mean, its religiosity is really thick. But in my personal, I'm not asking you to do what I do, okay? This is just me and God, my personal. When I see this Jesus with a bleeding heart, it speaks to me of His compassion. And so for me, it's even though it's very religious and I don't go that direction, it does have a meaning to me that's deep and sweet. He has a bleeding heart because He's compassionate. He really is very compassionate. And when we get to heaven, we're going to find compassion. I want to be comfortable around compassion. I don't want to be hard-hearted towards anyone or anything. Compassion is cool. In Ephesians 2:14, we find that there's a lot of peace in heaven. How many could use a little peace? Oh, you married people, raise your hands. I'm so blessed. I play games with these things, but we have peace in our house, and it's because of Jesus. And I just appreciate peace. Something that I have not yet understood about peace is how it can be so rich in my life when I'm in turmoil. And I know this has to do with, spirit, soul, and body, the realm of life we're in and all. You can have turmoil, let's say in your physical, and still have peace in your heart. Many years ago, I came under severe attack from Satan. Because I took the gospel to some villages in Mexico that had never had the gospel whatsoever. And I planted churches there, and there's Christians today that are there, churches that are thriving, doing well. But in the early days of that, I went into the enemy's territory and upset his basket. And he got real mad at me, and he started coming against me. And it was beyond my ability and capacity to resist. I had to just depend on God. I mean, the grace of God just had to carry me because I didn't have the experience to deal with it myself. I didn't have the faith to deal with it myself. I didn't know how to pray to deal with it myself. Sometimes you have to depend on God when you don't know what to do. And that's where I was these years back as I was talking. And so I was under severe attack from the devil, and everybody knew it. And my son, Bob, and I, in fact, I came under such severe spiritual attack that it was affecting me physically. I was bedfast for some time. Couldn't get out of the bed. And I laid there and I said, Devil, I think God's going to take care of this, but if you take my life, I'm going to resist as hard and fast as I can if I have to lay here and just pray. I'm going to offer resistance in some form. If I'm too sick to preach, then they'll bring me a recorder and I'll put it on cassette. And now you know how long back it was. You know, I was talking to the devil about this as well as God. You probably think I'm crazy, but who cares? I've had the devil grab me in the middle of the night and shake me awake and jerk me out of the bed. I've had evil spirits literally look me in the face where I saw them as clear as I see your faces. I've smelt their breath. The spirit world is real, on positive and negative. It's real. And Bobby and I were walking down the alley. I got out of bed and I had just been sick. I got out of bed and we went out the backyard and Bobby and I were walking down and we're both praying. I had barely had enough strength to even pray. I was just kind of like, Jesus, you got to do something. Jesus, you got to do something. Well, he was home on spring break or fall break or something from Rainbow. So he's all pumped up, you know, full of mouths, man full of faith. So he took me by the hand. Here's father and son, you know, holding hands, walking down the alley. It's okay to hold hands with your children. I said, it's okay to hold hands with your children. And I said, son, if this thing kills me, I'm going to go out fighting. And if it kills me, you got to pick up where I left off. This gospel's got to go out. And he started saying sweet things about, Dad, I'm on your side. I believe the Lord's going to set us free from this. And, you know, we worked on it best we knew how, and we got through it. But you know, I told him something as I'm walking. I can still see it in my mind as I'm walking down the alley between 3rd Street and 4th Street, about a block from Pan American, walking down through the weeds and the dirty, stinky garbage. And I said, Bob, even in all this, I have peace in my heart. My soul was in turmoil. My body was in being ripped apart. And yet I said, son, I've just got such peace in my heart. I've just got such peace in my heart. Isn't it good that we're three-parted creatures, spirit, soul, and body? It's because of the mercies and the graces of God, he won't let all three parts suffer at once. Isn't that good? And that third person, the spirit you, being united with Christ through the blood of Jesus, he just kind of walks in peace and stays on top of things. Aren't we glad? Well, when we get to heaven, don't be surprised if that kind of peace is in your whole person. Even my body? Well, yeah, because he promises to change our bodies. I'm planning to look just like a mannequin. We're going to have peace in heaven. Walk in peace. What's a good word for it? Being at peace with others. Be peaceable to other people. Be a giver of peace. Be a peace, a peacemaker. Be a peace giver right here, right now. Get used to peace right here and now by walking in the Spirit where that realm of peace always is. Walking in the Spirit, no matter what's going on in your body, no matter what's going on in your soul, walk in the Spirit and walk in that peace and share it with others and just get used to it. When you get to heaven, you go, I'm right at home. What else are we going to find in heaven? We're going to find hope in heaven because Jesus is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. This is such an amazing scripture. It's no wonder Paul started with it. 1 Timothy 1:1. There it is on the screen. The letter starts off by the author, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. People who don't understand hope are kind of afraid of it. And they go, I don't want to live in a realm of hope. Well, then you're not going to be living in the realm of Jesus Christ. Because he's our hope. And you must, I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. You must differentiate between the world's hope and the gospel hope. This hope cannot, will not, never will, never will fail you because Jesus doesn't fail. So this is the kind of hope we have to have. In fact, it's so important. It's so important to us as faith people because Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the substance of things you hoped for. Don't expect the substance of faith if you haven't put some hope in front of it. And not the world's hope, the Jesus hope, the sure hope, the anchor of hope. You do know the difference now. We've talked about it enough. There's two hopes, world's hope, God's hope. Totally different worlds. The world's hope shouldn't even be called hope. It should be called something else. It should be called lottery. Look at Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. If you get hungry, we'll order pizza. Otherwise, I'll just keep going. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. Okay, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. There must not be any lies in heaven, right? Impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope, everybody say this hope. God kind of hope, say that. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Oh, we're going to find hope in heaven because it's one of the characteristics of God. And the hope in heaven, it will be not the lottery, something by chance, or not something futuristic. The hope of heaven is going to be an anchor. You walk in there and go, hope is here, I'm anchored here, I'm staying. An anchor can't be moved, right? That's the God kind of hope. You can't be moved. Look at Colossians 1:27. Isn't God good? Mitch says all the time. In Colossians 1:27, the word says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, this is a whole teaching in itself. That whole scripture just goes into a huge amount of things to be sought out, studied out. But what I want you to focus on is this last part, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Okay, we're going to simplify this in an elementary sense, okay? Everybody say elementary sense. So we're talking first grade here. Jesus in you is your hope to get to heaven. This is as elementary as I can make it. But we sometimes need to go there and get anchored into it before we get into great revelations, okay? Jesus in you. Point to somebody and say, Jesus in you is your hope to get to heaven. If Jesus is not in you, you will never experience heaven, period. There is no other way than Jesus. Jesus himself said, no man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus himself said, I'm the door. He said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. John 14:6, I am the way. I tell you, you need Jesus in you to have any hope of glory. But Jesus in you is a sure hope, an anchor for the glory. You can say, no matter what the world says, no matter what your head says, no matter what the devil says, you can say, I'm going to heaven because Jesus is in me. And he's my hope. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in you is your hope of glory. Okay, we're going to leave it right there and go to, oh my goodness, are you going to find any love in heaven? What do you think? Going to be in love in heaven? Now, you'd be glad I didn't bring all of my notes because I couldn't help myself. I started looking up love. You know, there's no less than 24 definitions of love in the Hebrew and the Greek. There's love of my dog, love of my wife, love of the TV show, love of an apple. Oh, it's just amazing how many types of love. Love of an associate. There's brotherly love. Okay. There's godly love. One of our favorites that we all talk about and like to talk about is agape love, which is a Greek word, agape, which actually comes from the word before it, agapeo, which means literally a love feast. You going to find a love feast in heaven? What's a love feast? Well, lovely couple over here had a wedding a while back and a reception, and we had a feast out at their house. A lot of us went, and there was every food imaginable, every drink imaginable, every dessert imaginable. I mean, there was table after table after table, and we just feasted and filled up and feasted and ate twice as much as we usually eat and just feasted and feasted and feasted. And agape is a love feast. When we get to heaven, we're going to get so full of love. We're going to say, I didn't know I could eat so much. Give me some more. I didn't know I could take this much love in. Give me some more. He's going to increase our capacity to get all the love from the love feast we could ever imagine. And so we're going to find a lot of love in heaven. A lot of love in heaven. It's kind of like the principal thing. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. Is it up there already? 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's coming. Okay, we're going to read the first 8 verses. Are you ready? What did I say? Go to verse 1, please. First, yeah, we're going to go 1 through 8, and then we'll jump to 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal, a big mouth saying nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove the mountains, but if I don't have love, I ain't nothing. I know ain't's not in there, but it's in me. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but if I have not love, it profits me nothing, nothing, nothing. Love suffers long. That's why it's so rich in marriage. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but it does rejoice in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. That'll preach, brother. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they're going to fail. No, not all of them, of course. Okay? Whether they be tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. Knowledge vanish away? Okay. A lot to be said there. Verse 13, now abide. So how about, what does abide mean? Does that mean like a good marriage? You're just always there? And now abide faith and hope and love, these three. But which one's greatest? Is there going to be love in heaven? How will I be acquainted with love when I get to heaven? How will I be comfortable in a love world when I get to heaven? By learning to love right here and now. By learning to love right here and now. By learning to love right here and now. And you say, well, what does it mean to love right here and now? Well, go back and read verse 1 through 8. You need to take that home and read it and read it and read it. And it will explain to you in the fullest and most wonderful sense what love is, how it acts, and all the characteristics and natures of love. It's right there in 8 short verses. Love, love, love. I like the number 7 so good. It won't fail. It won't fail. How many of us have had to face something that failed? How many of us have had to face a person that failed? How many of us have failed? But love won't fail. And I want to be comfortable with love when I get there. When I get there and start breathing in deep breaths and deep gulps of love, I want to feel comfortable because I learned how to love on earth. So here's the question again. Is your lifestyle ready for heaven? Now in Ephesians 2, let's go to Ephesians 2. And we're going to read 10 verses. And it's got a punchline you're going to really like. Are you ready? And you, he made alive. Now, he is Jesus. Amen? You, he made alive who were dead. See, we were. That's past tense. In trespasses and sins. Next one. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We were all there at one time. Among whom also we all once, in the past, conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others or many others, but God. But God. But God. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Why does he have such rich mercy towards us? Because of the love he loves us with. Even when we were dead in trespasses, and he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in, I love this. Oh, do I ever love this verse? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You know what this says to me? No, tell me. Thought you never asked. Towards us. The grace, the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards who? Towards who? Towards who? Towards who? In Christ Jesus. You got to be in Christ Jesus to have this towards you. Amen? But what it said up there, in the ages to come, you know what that means? It means 28 billion years from now, he's still going to be showing us off. Saying, look what I did with a bunch of dirt. 28 billion years from now, you know, new kingdoms, new creations. Who knows what's going to be there? Only he knows. It's going to be fun. Eternity's a long time, brother. We're going to have to do some stuff besides sitting under the apple tree and hold our feet in the water. We've got to get like, we'll be like our Father God, creative. It's going to be so good. We don't have a clue. But in the ages come, 28 billion years from now, he's going to say, come over here, all you children of Faith Ministries Church. I want to show the universe how I took a bunch of dirt bags. Pardon the expression. No pun intended. I took a bunch of dirt bags full of sin, and I made sons of God out of them. And now they're out here ruling the universe. Oh, I get excited about this. And I'm not even there yet. Oh my. Verse 8 and 9 and 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone would boast. For we are his what? Is he still working on us? Let him work, let him work, let him work. It's got great benefits if you let him work on you. Great benefits, great benefits, great benefits. Much to look forward to if you're letting God work on you. For we are his workmanship and we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. The result of his good working in us should be our good working in his kingdom. We didn't work for the salvation, that came by grace. We just read that. But it should cause us to be a people of good works. That God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we should be walking in the good work. If we are walking in good works. And if we're allowing him to work in us. When we get to heaven. We'll be ready for it. One more time. The lead question in our first text. Is your lifestyle ready for heaven? Please stand. Is your lifestyle ready for heaven? And it starts and it ends in having Jesus in you. That's your hope of glory. So close your eyes, please. Father, in Jesus' name, if there's somebody in here that doesn't have you on the inside, if there's someone here that has not accepted you, Lord, as Savior, is someone here that says in their own thoughts, in their own heart, they'd say, well, I won't be comfortable in heaven because I don't know Jesus that well. Lord, if there's a person like that here, I just pray that you'll begin to minister to them right now. The Holy Spirit will convict them of their sins and they'll be repentive and begin to confess their sins before you. Because to those that confess, you're faithful and just to forgive. Lord, I just pray for anybody in here doesn't feel like they're going to be comfortable in heaven. I just pray that you make a change in their heart right now where they'll begin to long for Jesus. They'll begin to embrace salvation. They'll begin to embrace in their own thoughts and decisions a well-made up mind to serve God. They'll begin to embrace a lifestyle, a heavenly lifestyle right here and now. Begin to embrace a heavenly lifestyle so when they get there, they'll be welcome, they'll be ready, they'll be very comfortable with their heavenly home. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you forgive this, anyone here that needs forgiveness. I pray, sir, that they'll confess today that, because I know you'll forgive them. You said you would. Lord, just begin to cleanse hearts right now, I pray. If you've never made Jesus your Lord, if you don't have Him on the inside, I want to pray with you, and I just like for you to be just, you know, just bold as the sun coming up and come up here and let me pray with you. You know, it's the least you could do for what He's done for you. When He died on the cross and His blood was shed, your sins were paid for, but you have to accept that. You have to embrace that for it to be any benefit to you. And the way we embrace the benefit of salvation is to make a public confession. Jesus Himself said, if you deny Me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. But He went on to say, if you'll confess Me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. And so it's important that we make a public confession of Jesus Christ and invite Him into our heart. And that's the beginning of this beautiful road to heaven. So if there's anyone here that needs to make that confession, just, you know, hey, your soul is at stake here. Your future is at stake. So don't hold back. Just come running up here if you need to. You know, this is just turn for the good so fast. So fast. You'll sleep so good tonight. Today is the day of salvation. Tonight's the night of sleeping good. Because your conscience is clean. You've confessed. If that's you, if you have that need, step out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hand on your heart and repeat these words. Heavenly Father, I want to know I'm ready for heaven. Dear Jesus, please live in my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And help me, Lord, to develop a lifestyle that will bring me to a place of acceptance and comfort. When I get to heaven, I'll feel at home because Jesus is in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bit of a love feast this morning. We're going to continue this love feast. We're going to have some dessert tonight at 6 o'clock. If you can come, please do so. And if you know in your heart you still need to accept Jesus, but you just haven't had the strength to come up here, I want you to go home and go into a private place, maybe your bedroom, your closet, out in the backyard. Go somewhere and just get on your knees. Say, God, help me. I need Jesus. Please, Jesus, help me. Come into my heart. If you'll do this, I promise you, next time you come to church, you'll have the strength to come up here and make a public confession of Christ. How's that? God wants you to make that confession today, but if you just don't have the strength, make it as soon as you get home. But make your decision for Christ. Your life depends on it. And at this point, I'd like for you to give about 50 or 60 people a big hug and a kiss. Tell them you love them. And have the best week you've ever had. God bless you.